All right, let's turn to Mark chapter 4 and verse 10. While you're turning, let's invite those people who are listening to us on the internet to give us a call or comment, 856-261-9018, or simply questions at bftbc.org. All right, Mark chapter 4, let's read verses 10, 11, and 12, beginning with verse 10 together. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. He said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven. All right, so in verse number 10, when he was alone, sometimes he was alone, what happened then in verse 10? All right, those were about him with the disciples. What did they do? What did they ask him? What is a parable? It's a story. What kind of a story? Heavenly meaning? Earthly? Earthly story. Heavenly meaning. What was the parable he's speaking about here? The sower that went to sow. How many grounds did he have the seed go on? What were the four grounds the seed was on? What's the first one? Wayside, what's the second one? Stony, what's the third one? No? What was it? Thorns is the third one. What's the fourth one? Good ground. What happened on the fourth one? The seed got in the fourth one. It grew. How did it grow? All grow alike, the same? 30, 60, and 100 fold. So this is like Christian faith. God wants us to be on good ground and it should grow in the Lord. All right, so that's verse number 10. And the Lord Jesus then explained, what is it, the mystery of the kingdom of God? What's the kingdom of God he's referring to here? All right, now, did the Jews accept Jesus as the Messiah? Did they accept him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? No, they rejected him. One day is he going to become a King of Kings and Lord of Lords? When will that take place? In the millennium. What is the millennium? Thousand-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where will he reign? In heaven? You're on earth. And so in Jerusalem. So it's unto them, unto you. What's the you refer back to? Disciples, right? The ones that were with him. They asked the question about the parable. Unto you, what was true of them? What's given unto them? Verse number 11. What was given unto these disciples? Understand the kingdom of God. What about them that are without? What does it mean, them that are without? Are the people told the parable, the unsaved people, the non-Christian people, the people that are not following the Lord Jesus Christ, those that are without? Do we have people that are without Christ today?
Yes.
Most more than out, they're out there within, am I right?
Yes.
Many more than without. Lost, hellbound, bound for hell. Them that are without, what does he do with those things that are without? He spoke to them. What type of language that he used are those that are without?
Parables.
That's all it's helping, is parables. And the purpose, the reason he did that in verse number 12 is what? Seeing they may see and not perceive. That's exactly the Old Testament that he quotes that, isn't it? In Isaiah chapter 6. What does it mean, seeing they may see and not perceive? What's the difference between seeing and perceive? Understanding. Perception is understanding, where they can see and that people can talk, but if you don't understand what it means, they're without any understanding.
So the kingdom of God is
the thousand-year reign of Christ. Now, you see, those that are saved and born again are in the kingdom of God, present kingdom, but yet the literal kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, would be in the millennial reign of Christ. Remember he told Nicodemus, sick man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, there is a sense in which the kingdom of God reigns and those that are genuinely saved, but the general millennial kingdom will be in a thousand-year reign. So people a lot of times confuse those two terms, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. But so he said then in verse number 12, hearing they may hear and not understand. So you can, for instance, if I were to quote something to you in Greek, for instance, if I were to quote a verse in Greek, John 1:1 in Greek, anarche en homos hei. Can't even remember what it is. And okay? And logos, kai logos, and prostantheon, kai theos, and hologos. See, if I quote that, you hear. But do you understand? I just said, and arche, and hologos, kai logos, and prostantheon, kai logos, theos, and hologos. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. See that? But see, you can hear, but you don't understand the language. Just like you speak Spanish or French or German or any other language, if you don't, you can hear but not understand.
That so this, was Greek?
That was Greek, the first of Greek. And arche means in the beginning. Ein hologos was the Word. Kai hologos, and the Word ein was prostantheon, with God. Kai theos, and God, ein hologos, was the Word. See, that's exactly what that is. So, but hearing, but you have to understand those words. Now, lest, what does lest mean in verse 12? Lest. What is it? Yeah, but the word expressed, word lest itself, what? It means unless. See, if you don't speak that, lest at any time, who's the they refer to here? The unsaved, those that are without, should be converted. What does converted mean? To become saved, changed around, moved around from 180 degree change. And what about their sins? Forgiven them. Now, is there anything wrong with that? It'd be nice if they would, but you see, they didn't want to be, apparently, they didn't want to be saved, they didn't want their sins to be forgiven, so therefore, parables it is. Questions at bfdbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment, just say hello, glad to hear from you. Now, it's interesting, their sins should be forgiven. Today, how do sins get forgiven? What is it, Anna? Okay, tell me where they always were. Tell me they always were. All right, which Lord? All right, Lord Jesus Christ. Now, do you get your sins forgiven by coming to the Father? Who do you come to? Which member of the Trinity? Father, but through the Son to the Father. No man can come to the Father except through the Son. Let's say John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So he's the only entrance. Him first. Come to him. Well, what happens when you come to him? What must be true to have sins forgiven today? First, you have to admit you have sins. What's the second thing? That the Lord Jesus died for you, for your sins, in your place. And then the third thing? Well, not necessarily. Well, that's died and rose, but what's the third thing? Well, that's what a lot of people say is repent. See, we don't believe we believe that repent means to change the mind. And you've already changed your mind if you realize you're a sinner. So you've changed your mind in regard to your sin. So these people say you got to repent and believe separate. Now, Dr. Schaefer at Dallas Seminary always said repent and believe is all part of the same thing, same act. These people that teach repentance. So, in other words, some of these people who preach repentance, they say, you've got to change your whole life. That means, what's what they mean by repentance before to be saved? That's salvation by works. We don't change our whole life before we're saved. We must trust the Lord as our Savior and Redeemer. And so, three things. Number one, you're a sinner and you agree with it. Number two, the Lord Jesus died for your sin. Number three, receive and accept Him as Savior. Yes, Paul, go ahead. Well, before even that, see, is that enough? If you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask to be forgiven, is that all that there is to do? That's not the way to do it. What are the way to do it? Three things that must be done. What are they? You realize you're a sinner. First of all, you got to realize, I'm a sinner, lost, bound for hell. What's the second thing you got to realize? The Lord Jesus died for you, for me, for my sins. What's the third thing? Have to accept what He did for you and trust Him as your Savior. Let's say John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So these are important things. Yes.
So the third thing is asking Him to come into your heart.
Well, it's to trust Him, believe Him as your Savior. Accept Him, receive Him, see. As many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. So the trust of faith must be there.
Well, tell a child you're going to ask Jesus to come into your
Yeah, I know that's what a lot of people that see CCM, Child Evangelism Fellowship, but that's a sort of a phony thing. See, that's in Revelation 3:20. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I'll come in and supple and heal. But see, that's a phony thing. See, that's a fallacious thing. That's terrible. It's misunderstood. People can ask Jesus to come in there all they want. They're lost and bound for hell. See, they've got to realize they're sinners. Christ died for their sins. I'm trusting Lord Jesus as my Savior. See, faith. That's what saves. Not asking Jesus to come in there. That's a phrase that is used. A lot of people are very confused by that. Anna. That's a good illustration, Anna.
But isn't yeah. also asking him to come into your heart, asking the Holy Spirit to dwell within you?
But see, but the Scripture never says to ask the Holy Spirit to indwell. See, it never says. See, think, once we're saved and born again, the Holy Spirit indwells us instantaneously. We don't ask him, Lord, indwell me. See,
right.
You see, a lot of fallacious and false beliefs on these things about the Holy Spirit. Charismatics and Pentecostals, they got all crazy things about that. But when we trust Christ as Savior, our body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in us, which we have of God, instantaneously. What five things happen as soon as we're saved? We're sealed. What is the memory here?
Ribs.
R-I-B-S. Okay, what's the R?
Regeneration.
Regeneration. What's the I?
And
we're indwelled by the Spirit of God. B? Baptized with the Spirit. Baptized. And what's yes? Sealed with the Spirit of God. See, so these things instantaneously, and then of course the fifth work of the Holy Spirit is the filling, which that comes and goes. It depends on if you're controlled with the Spirit of God, then He fills us and controls us for our lives. So but there's a lot of these questions, Joanne. Why have you brought that up? Because a lot of people, see, they don't know what's what. But John 3:16 is clear. Let's say it again. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Believeth in Him. Not ask the Holy Spirit to come in. Not to have Jesus in your heart. Believeth in Him. See, and He loved the world, gave Himself on the cross for gave Himself. So these are very important things. Yes, yeah, Vaughn. Okay, go ahead, Van. Finish up.
I forgot. I'm very tired. But you know that you're a sinner. You can't even have a Savior until you know you're a sinner. Then you have to realize you're a sinner. And sometimes if you have it, if you continue going through bad things, you always mind your mother. You have to understand what a sinner is.
Let me ask a simple question. If all a young person, boy or girl, or man or woman does, is ask Jesus into their heart, is that what the Bible says about how to be saved?
No.
That's applying Revelation 3:20. See, in the New Testament. But the Bible's very clear, isn't it?
But they use that verse.
Well, I know. They're wrong in using it. See, they're wrong. Child evangelism is wacko on that. Wacko, horrible, monstrous, unbelieving heresy to ask Jesus into their heart. See? Because that's not the way to be saved. Well, then say trusting the Lord. Say John 3:16. Believeth on Him should not perish. Not ask Him in his heart. Believeth on Him should not perish. John 1:12. As many as received him, then they gave power to come to the sons of God, then they believe on his name.
See, I know she said, if you ask him into your heart, that means you believe in him.
No, it does not. That's not necessarily at all. Let me give you an example. Is exactly equal, say, Jesus in my heart, believe in Jesus. Are those equal?
No.
No, they're not equal. Completely different. Bill.
The first time I went to Sunday school, I guess I was around 7 or 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing the Sunday school teacher said to me, are you saved? And I said, I don't know what is being saved. And before going any further, I said the sinner's prayer with him, not knowing what it meant,
mm-hmm.
not feeling any repentance for my sins, not understanding anything at all. But I thought for a long time I was saved because I invited the Lord to come into my heart.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Anna.
Is this one of Paul?
You were once younger? Good. I see a little picture of Anna in these videos. Little tiny girl. Okay, go ahead, Anna. Pardon my interruption.
Anyway, but when I was younger, I struggled with assurance.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was at some Bible school somewhere. They had the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to talk to someone about it, but they just wanted to lead me to the sinner's prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Because
okay. It's all right. We're patient, mostly, usually, sometimes.
And we found in him not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is with God by faith. I might know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made culpable and mm-hmm. his death.
Very good. Now, two people mentioned the sinner's prayer. Who were they? Who are the two people in this class?
Bill?
Nobody knows? Bill?
Yeah.
Who else? Who else?
Eddie.
Bill and Anna. Okay, now, what is the sinner's prayer? That's number one. Describe what is the sinner's prayer. Come to the sinner's prayer.
Yes, the Lord, I know that I'm a sinner, and I believe that you died for me. Come into my heart, and I'm a slave.
Something like that.
Yeah.
It's
called Easy
Believe. Sort of. It's strange. Yeah, go ahead, Danny.
Years ago, I was helping out children's program, and I was being pressured by someone to lead someone to Christ, which I was just trying to explain a verse to them.
Mm-hmm.
Without the understanding of it, they couldn't be saved.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I could just go on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but
just
the understanding of the verse, it was a gospel verse, would have given them a start
in the right
direction. So the
question
I was getting was confusing the whole gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of that confusion today in
the
church.
Okay. Is the sinner's prayer in the Bible?
No.
No, there's no sinner's prayer in the Bible like that.
God,
you might be a sinner. Wait a minute. It's the way that the sinner's prayer is given, that's not in the Bible. That's what people have just to... Yes, Anna, go ahead, explain.
Well, I was in the same children's program.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And like sometimes in the program, you know, it's just pressure to memorize the verses,
mm-hmm.
but if you can memorize something and have clue what it means.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm even really trying to just rush this through my mind from the verses.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get them to actually have the understanding of what the verse
means. Mm-hmm. So we have some prophecies. People have these pat answers, whether it's Jesus in your heart or some of these prayers, these are this. Take them to the Bible. Take them to John chapter 3. Talk about Nicodemus. Talk about trusting Christ as Savior. Take them to chapter 6, the Word of Life, the Bread of Life. You know, take them to the Bible. And for instance, Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Take them to Scriptures. These silly sinners' prayer and the silly Jesus in your heart. People, they could say it and they think, well, I want to trust in that. Well, Bill, pray that he still feels he wasn't really saved. Yeah, so Bill, go ahead.
Billy Graham is a good example of someone who used his quick prayer as, mm-hmm. For salvation. Of course, Sheldon Smith,
mm-hmm.
As well. Sheldon Smith said he could go to death in public and save 50 people a day when he goes out.
Yeah, that's the thing. Some people say yes to get you out of their house. They don't want any part of you. Then it gets you away. See, do you believe? Oh, yes. Get out of here. Penny.
Well, the Jewish parents are talking about it, just the way of Satan. They're going to be born of God. From people's hearts. Instead of talking about the scripture and getting them to understand what the Bible is actually saying,
mm-hmm.
They're trying to evangelize them. Without even giving them any understanding of what the Bible says. When I'm thinking of Isaiah 55:7, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but waters the earth, and maketh it to bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And
it's
a prophecy
where
it's
sent it.
Yes. The Bennett have the first, 2 Thessalonians 3:1-2, that the Word of God makes a free course.
Free course.
And be glorified. So the point is that the Word of God is active in people's hearts.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to change them. It's going to bring them to
Christ. Right. Now, somebody mentioned earlier, no, fine, go ahead. Just tell what?
I mean, I can't tell
that. Well, it's a... Well, that's New Testament. That's fine. That's fine. We got to realize we're sinners.
But I'm just saying, Jesus hasn't died yet.
Oh.
You mentioned even at all times, in the Old Testament, you think all these people knew what the type of Christ that wasn't from animal sacrifices. Were they talking about the coming Messiah? Some were.
Some were, I'm sure, and some weren't.
You said
1,000
ages. So
you're
getting the question.
What
question?
Well, you asked the question when you come to God. What was the question?
I guess, well,
the answer
someone
that
Jesus
comes
to his heart. Which
I
know that's not true.
No.
But, so,
it's
the
Old
Testament.
Sure, I don't mean way back in the Old
Testament.
Well, what I meant by down through ages is from the time of the book of Acts and the Gospels to the present time. That's 2,000 years. That's plenty of ages for me.
But it made it sound like from the beginning of time, that's the only...
No, no, I'm talking about the New Testament issue. Anna and then Barbara.
From the beginning of time, or for years, from Genesis to Revelation, it's talking about the promise of the coming of the Christ.
Yes.
So while they haven't perfect, like they might not understood the way he's going to be,
right,
the way he understands it today,
mm-hmm.
They still, I mean, you could...
The Lord Jesus was promised right in Genesis, you're right.
We know that.
That's right.
To Abraham, it was nice to meet all.
All the ancient earth be blessed. That's right.
And so, the point always has been that we cannot save ourselves.
Right.
The Messiah is coming, has come,
mm-hmm.
And that is, I mean, through faith in Christ, and it's always been the faith of salvation is always by faith.
By faith, the Old Testament is
by word.
That's right. Now, Barbara.
Christ was slain before the foundation of the world.
Yes.
At Hebrews 11, by faith, trusting in Christ for salvation, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob,
yes.
Moses, Noah, everybody,
yes.
trusting in Christ for salvation,
right.
they did what they did.
Right, by faith. Yvonne.
My thing is, your question, so everybody, all Jacob's great-grandchildren, we don't have names of, all the people that we have no names of at all, all those people that sacrificed to Christ.
Not necessarily all knew, no. God had to reveal it to them, honey. You can't say all those people are saved just with carte blanche. You can't say that. Some are lost and some are saved. Paul and then Anna. It's not up to us to know. God knows. We don't know. Now go ahead, Paul and then Anna.
It also says in God's word that without faith it is impossible to please him.
Yes. Hebrews 11, 6. Anna.
Well, I mean, there are so many modern Catholic churches and they don't preach the gospel.
Right.
That doesn't excuse them because the scripture still, the word of God has been revealed.
Right.
And we have it. And so while they might not know it, it's still how salvation happens.
Right.
That's regardless of whether they know. And because I see Abel, by faith Abel,
yes.
Seth,
right.
Then became
Paul from
the
Lord. Right. Yes, Barbara.
Salvation has never changed. If they believed in the coming of Christ as Messiah, as the not as the Anointed One, but as the Savior, just as we believe He has come.
That's right.
It all boils down to
right.
faith.
But we have a more.
We have a more sure word.
Sure, and more important and complete revelation.
Right. Okay. But it's the same difference.
Right. Yeah, Vaughn?
Can we have a song? The beautiful invitation song.
That's unscriptural. Absolutely unscriptural. Unscriptural. Plenty of songs are unscriptural. That's one of them.
And not until I was older did I know that that was not.
The Lord never says, come into your heart. Into your heart. Yeah, go ahead, Anna, and then Paul.
This is a problem where you're seeing songs that are unscriptural.
A lot of hymns are hymn or unscriptural. That's right.
You can find, like, oh, this is not right.
Maybe we should trash the hymn and get another one, but that's hard to find. This hymn
is
always going to be a problem. Yeah. Yeah.
And then sometimes there are songs that seem to be a prayer to the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, but we're supposed to pray to the Father.
That's right. In the name of the Son.
We
shouldn't sing those songs either, praying to Christ or praying to the Holy Spirit, that's for sure. What was it?
Yeah.
Someone requested it.
No. It's something we sing every Sunday. Spirit of the living God descends on our hearts.
No.
Huh.
Oh, it's open my eyes. Open my eyes.
Is that part of the Spirit?
Well, it's just the Spirit divine. I mean, it seems like a reference to the Holy Spirit, but I don't know.
Well, we'll have to look that over again. Now, someone.
Well,
we better change that if that's the case. But what we're trying to get in that song is let's open our hearts and minds to think the scriptures and as the sermon is being preached. That's the idea, but we got some problems with the ending where we'll have to look it over. Someone mentioned easy believism. What is that? Is it right, wrong, or what is it? Well, is it easy? Is believing easy?
Yes.
Oh, you've got yes or no. Who's right? Some say yes, some say no. Is believing in Christ easy or is it hard?
No, it's
difficult.
Easy to believe.
So there's no problem. But the people, they knock easy believism. What do they mean by easy believism?
Well, people that don't believe without understanding.
Maybe without understanding. That's right. For instance, remember, what's the people... they go to colleges. What's the name of that place?
Students.
No, but what's that big group? Christ? What's the name? What's it called? No, I use
for
Christ.
For Christ.
Yeah. Campus Crusade.
It's now
what is that?
It's now
known as Crew. No, it's not Crew, but it used to be Campus Crusade for Christ. They got about four things. This, and, but they never say you're a sinner. It's just horrible. Yet people use those four formula things to do this, and then it makes them saved. This is horrible, these four spiritual laws. They leave out the fact that we're sinners. There's nothing in that four spiritual laws that we're sinners. Bound for hell, Bill Bright. And that because a lot of people, like people come into churches, raise your hand and then you be a Christian just because you raise your hand. There's lots of problems with this material, people not understanding and going to hell because they think they're saved and they're lost. Serious business. Yeah, Anna and Joanne and Vaughn. Anna, Joanne, and Vaughn. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, Anna.
I'm getting confused with
succession. Oh, Anna,
Joanne,
and Vaughn. Anna, Joanne, and Vaughn. 1, 2, 3.
Okay. Well, anyway, so. So, at my college, there was a crew, and sometimes I went there. And then there was some times when one of the students was leading.
Mm-hmm. It's called Crew now. Crew.
Yeah.
Can't push a crate. Okay. I'm behind the times.
So, so one of the students was still leading a Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in John or something. And then people were asking questions that I thought were sort of relatively easy to answer. And
mm-hmm.
Peter wasn't sure about them. And he wasn't quite sure of the answers. And I'm just saying, being confused because
I can't
answer the question, but like it was like a lived
truth,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So like I
didn't
know
if you
have
it. Yes, but I do. Well, Campus Crusade for Christ was never a separatist organization. It mixed with all kinds of problems.
No, it's male and female.
So she didn't feel comfortable telling the leading Bible study that
saying
what she knew,
yes.
He didn't have a clue.
Okay. Joanne, you finished that?
It was like there were these basic things that people could understand, and one of these people that was there seemed to be like the father seemed to be some sort of pastor. She didn't know the answers to these things, but I was thinking what is happening is like this really stick around.
Okay. Joanne and then Bob. Joanne and Bob.
I was saved when I was 4 years old, so I was very young, and I was in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother had explained to me from the time I was very young,
mm-hmm.
whenever I did something wrong, that it was wrong. So
mm-hmm.
I knew what sin was and
yes.
what it was to be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
My mother wanted me to ask Jesus to help me get me better,
uh-huh.
Because I was sick and in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept saying to her no, that I was pushing it away.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when I finally did ask you to forgive me of my sins,
mm-hmm.
because I was a bad girl,
mm-hmm.
and then number two, you know, to that I understood the cross because I had seen crucifixes, you know, we had crucifixes in my grandmother's house, you
mm-hmm.
know, with the body of Christ on it, of
yeah.
course. So I understood what that meant. And
mm-hmm.
that he had died for my sins.
Mm-hmm.
So I became saved understanding
mm-hmm.
these things. And I think that, you know, as far as coming into my heart, I had learned that in Sunday school, you know,
mm-hmm.
That part of it.
Right.
But, I mean, I knew there's a lot of things that you can't tell a child that they're going to understand.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I believe that the way my mother explained it to me,
mm-hmm.
That I understood. And Jesus
mm-hmm.
made me well.
Mm-hmm. Good.
There was no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Right.
I was supposed to die. The doctors told my parents I was going to die.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing they could do for me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I left the hospital after 4 or 5 months, and my
mm-hmm.
mother thanked the doctors
mm-hmm.
for everything they had done,
mm-hmm.
they said it was nothing that they had done.
Good.
So they were yeah. willing to admit
yeah.
that it was only through prayer.
Through prayer. Well, praise the Lord.
I had been saved.
Well, that's great, man. Glad you're still with us. Have fun.
I can't remember.
Okay. So in other words, the easy believism phrase that is negative is in what way? When somebody says believe it, what they don't understand what it means. But what does John 3:16 say again? Whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. A lot of people say that's too easy. Got to make Christ Lord of your life. Got to have all kinds of things, plus, this work and that work.
And we're not going to become good either. Because
that's right. So it's got to be, by genuine faith. But people don't understand the faith. That's why people call it easy believing. In other words, it's used in many places, many times, but faith is easy. Belief is easy. The Lord did it all. He paid it all. All for me, I was. Him right in himself. All right, all that on verse number 11. Mystery of God. 11's parables. Seeing is in verse 12. Seeing him is seen, unnoticed and perceived. Hearing me hear and not understand. Be converted, and sins should be forgiven. So all that, what the sins, how the sins are forgiven. Jeff, pass it in.
We need to believe
is the polar opposite?
Yes.
Okay, define both terms.
Well, I mean, means believes them is just, you know, what you refer to is kind of a real quick thing. Praying without understanding, believing without understanding, believing in the Lordship salvation, on the other hand, is you have to make the glory your, make Christ the Lord your life first, then all your, like, then all your wickedness first.
Yeah.
Make the Lord your life, then you have to make the Lord your life, then you can.
Mm-hmm.
You're good enough to come to salvation.
Yes, the salvation by works, actually, isn't it? But as you say, easy believers, if you don't understand what it means, that's wrong too. That's wrong. But faith and general belief in Christ is easy. It's not difficult, but you got to understand it in order to be saved. All right, so lest you be converted. All that on what converted was. Any other comments or questions on this verse, number 12? Yes, Barbara?
Just to add to everything, that we do not come to him unless the Spirit draws us. It is the Spirit who convicts us of our sins, and it is he who leads us into all truth. The my mind is not black. It is. We don't come to God on our own. We have to be called and drawn. It is he who gives us the understanding, and it is his faith that we have to believe. Yes?
Well, there's a problem with that in part.
Okay.
Because those people say you have to be specially drawn. I say, can't believe. That means if you're not drawn, you can't believe. See? No. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. In other words, it's open to all. We don't have to wait for the... That's true. The Holy Spirit, God wants us to be saved. But Christ died for us, and the Holy Spirit wants to do that, but he's not going to force us. And if he doesn't call upon us, that means we can't believe. See, no. There's no excuse for not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. No excuse. Don't wait for the Spirit. Don't wait for anything. Trust him right now. Yes, Tammy.
The seed is sown. It's either sown on good ground or not.
Yes.
If it's sown on good ground, it's going to bring full fruit. And eventually, we will have enough understanding that we can be saved.
Yes.
But if it's your background, it's going to be like Sarah's heart, and then it becomes hard.
Right. Yvonne.
Can you just quote that verse again? I just know that one.
Which one?
The Father from. I need to know that one.
No man can come unto the Father except the Father who sent me, draw him. Yes. Yes. Then the other verse is, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. See, that's the balance. See, the Lord Jesus, by his death, draws all men. The hyper-Calvinists say nobody can come except the Father draw. In other words, you've got to be one of the elect. See, it's misquoting the scriptures, because the Lord said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men. That's a promise. We don't have to wait for the Spirit's drawing. He's got to get that other verse to explain both verses.
He's knocking at the door. All we have to do is
yes, open it. Yes, right. We have to trust him, open our hearts, and trust him. All right, so that's...
I know.
That's used quite a bit in evangelism. Let Jesus come into your heart. If you're tired or alone of your sin, let Jesus come into your heart. I mean, these songs and choruses, I mean, this is...
But he does.
The Lord, well, Yeah, go ahead, pass it in.
In Revelation, it's talking about restoration of fellowship.
Yes, restoration.
Not
salvation.
In the pure content, textually it's speaking about restoration of
fellowship. Yes.
It sometimes it's applied other ways.
It's applied other ways.
The direct interpretation of the passage textually is
you're right.
The restoration of fellowship.
That's right. All right. So all that in that word converted, what it is in verse 12. Okay, let's move on. Let's read 13, 14, and 15 together. And he said unto them, oh, by the way, questions at bfbbc.org or 856-261-9018. Are you still with us out there in internet land? It was a call. We've been talking a lot of things. Call us or question us or just say hello. 13, 14, 15. He said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then do you know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And those that are in the way side where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their heart. All right, verse 13. Knowing not the parable. What parable is he referring to there? What parable? The sower going to sow. How many soils?
Four.
And what are they again?
Stoning.
The wayside.
Brambles
of thorns.
And good.
And so, then he said, the sower sows the word. What words to be sown today? The scripture. What scripture should it be?
The King James version of the Bible.
In the English? King James Bible. Why do we say that? Why are we so strict on that? Why do we differentiate the King James Bible from all the other modern versions out today in any languages of the world? Why? Tammy?
It's got a
different text. Underneath that, what text does it have? In the New Testament, text receptors. In the Old Testament, Masoretic, Hebrew, and Aramaic. And also, what else do we say about it? Now the proper text. What else do we say? What is it? The translation. The translators. Super translators. They did their job, did it well. Proper translation technique. What else do we say about it? The text, translators. What's the third one? The technique of translation. Technique. What is the technique that was used? It's a verbal equivalence and form of it. The forms of the words are translated and the words are translated. And finally, theological. Theological. Anna, go ahead, Anna. Go ahead. Theology, the doctrine. Yeah. It's proper theology. Go ahead, Anna, what you got?
John 12:32.
Okay.
If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men.
That's the one we got. 12:32 of John. I didn't know the reference, but I got the verse. Okay. So these other New Testaments, let's take the New Testament. What is the basis of these other verses, other Bibles, except the King James Bible?
The Vatican Sinai
manuscripts. And where did those originate? Well, one of them was Mount Catherine's Seminary. There was the Vatican, the Sinai. That's Mount Catherine's monastery.
Is that a bad one?
That's all right. That's a bad one. That's Sinai. Where Vatican was?
Vatican.
In the Vatican. Right? What did you say, Anna? I mean, Tammy? What? Where did they all originate? What is a country? Alexandria, Egypt. Alexandria, Egypt. What was also the true in Alexandria, Egypt? That's the headquarters of Gnosticism, the Gnostics. And Tertullian? Augustinian?
Origin?
Okay. Antiochian school? Yes, Barbara?
Because it was based on Plato. In the ancient world, you were either Platonic or Aristotelian, and the Gnostics were Platonic.
And now, what did Dean Bergen say was true of Alexandria, Egypt? What New Testament did they receive at first, according to Dean Bergen's history and studies? What did they receive first in Alexandria? Was it? Pardon me?
The Antioch.
The Antiochian Bible. They received the receipt text that we have right today. Antioch, from Antioch, that's right. They received the proper traditional Greek text. What did the Gnostics do with that text? Perverted. In what ways did they pervert it, and why did they pervert it? What way did they pervert it?
Allegory.
What's the allegory?
They separated Jesus Christ.
Jesus is one person, Christ is another. That's true. That's one thing they did. And this is Alexandrian text. Jesus is just a man, and Christ is a divine person, and Christ came down Jesus at his birth and left him before the cross. See, they split up Jesus and Christ. That's why half Jesus, half this Christ, but Jesus Christ, very seldom in these new versions. So what I'm saying is the Gnostics wanted to conform the New Testament to what? To what they believe. Are they sound belief doctrines or false doctrines?
False.
What are some of the false doctrines of the Gnostics? Christ was just a man. Didn't die. Certainly didn't rise again. And had a human father. All these things. No virgin birth. And all these... Oh, excuse me, Anna. Christ what?
Christ came upon him
at his baptism. That's right. That's right. Pass it down.
I do not have a question, but I just want to say I am watching. I'm never sure if this is live or recorded. I'm very impressed by the interaction of the folks there. I'm John from Florida.
Does he give an email at all? Well, thank you, John. Let's wave to John from Florida. Wave to John. We're very much, this is live action. Some of the greatest action we've had for quite a while. Was it?
Porterville,
Florida. Well, thank you, John. Well, thank you, John. No, this is live. Thank you for letting us know. Good, Anna. Mm-hmm. That's good. And then John 12:32 is the other one. If I be lifted up. All right. So the modern versions are based upon these Gnostic texts. That's why they're filled with falseness. How many changes in the New Testament?
8,000.
How many are doctrinal changes? 356. Doctrinal changes. See, because they're Gnostics. See? Yes.
One of the big things that I'm a little more familiar with ESV than anybody, than anything, the other translation, is they talk about the one.
Yeah.
And the Gnostic concept is based on what we now call Buddhism, which is everything is part of the whole.
Mm-hmm.
So when they are discussing the one, it's not any separate God that would have created it, but just mm-hmm. part of the great that's there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
a prophet. See, now, all these versions based on the wrong Greek text, very serious, based on this false doctrine, Gnosticism, that's why the changes, that's why the 356 doctrinal changes, that's why the King James Bible stands out different from all these others. In my computer upstairs, I have 50 to 60 different Bible versions, right there. I go to any one of them and see what they are. Now, one of the pastors asked me to come every 2 years in October. He's going to ask. He asked me again to come up in the state of Michigan. And this time, I'm going to give an analysis of five different versions. I could get all 50 or 60, but I just picked five: American Standard, New American Standard, English Standard Version, the Revised Standard Version, and whatever the five were. Anyhow, I'm picking five. NIV is one. See. And I'm using these illustrations. I got about 60 or 70 specifics of these 356 to show the heresies of these new versions based on Gnosticism, see? So it's amazing. But it's amazing that you could pick I could have picked any of these 50 or 60 in my computer and checked either one, and they would be the same thing because they're based on the same thing. Things on the same basis, they're going to come out the same, all right? And they trust these terrible, terrible Greek texts.
Everybody thinks that Gnosticism is heresy of the early church. Gnosticism started out in the Garden of Eden with yea, hath God said, and ends up with you shall become as gods. That is the whole concept of Gnosticism.
Yeah.
Is that you, because you are part of the one, everybody is part of the one, everybody's a god.
Right, and Gnosticism means to know, doesn't it? Gnosko means to know, to begin to know, knowing this and knowing that. Alright, so that was a sore one for them. The word, very important in verse 14, what the word is. And people these days don't really know what the word is. It's a sad thing. But all these other Bible versions, now, there may be some verses in these other translations that are the same, generally speaking, as the King James. That's true. There's so many other things. They either add, or they subtract, or they change in some other way. And we don't want additional suppressions. We want exactly what does God say. And so, sword the word. And then verse 15, who are the wayside people? In verse 15. Mark 4:15. Who are they?
The mouth of the air came and devoured it up, the word that was summoned.
Verse 15? This Satan took that. Verse 15, the Satan came. And immediately, cometh immediately, taketh away the word sown in their hearts. So the wayside. What does wayside mean, by the way?
Off the beaten path.
Off the sort of the side of the path. Not really, there's no grass to speak of. Sort of the side of the way. Wayside. Okay, so that Satan comes and takes away the word. So it's fruitless. A lot of people today, you tell the gospel, so it's just like wayside stuff. Satan comes and takes it right out. They don't care. Did we read 16, 13? We didn't read 16.
Yes,
did we? Yes, go ahead.
Because it refers back to the wayside, if the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And then here he talks about Satan coming immediately and taking away the word that was sown. So the fowls of the air are equal with Satan.
Apparently
Satan
so.
Devours.
Yeah.
He's a roaring lion. Lion.
Yeah. Yes, verse 4, the fowls, yeah, that's right. Here in this verse, Satan comes. That's right. Let's read 16, 17, and 18. And these are they, likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecutions ariseth, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And then one more? Yeah, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hears the word. By 16. Stony ground. How would you define stony ground?
Full of stones.
Full of stones, not much earth, not much grass. What is it? Very hard, very stony. And
unproductive.
What is true of the stony ground, verse 16? What do the people do to get the stony ground word? They heard it, and then what else? That's wonderful. But what else? How? With gladness. See, it doesn't last. See, that's the thing. I think these people say, like, Jesus come into your heart, or pray the sinner's prayer, or easy to believe, just believe and go. They see it, but it's stony ground. It's not, you don't understand it. You've got to understand all the details. Otherwise, it's phony. It's phony, and it's false, and it's not true and genuine. Some are saved, but some are lost. See? It's not a stony ground, that's right. If they're saved, they're not a stony ground. They receive with gladness. We read 17, right?
Yes.
And what is true of their root?
They have none in themselves.
Right? There's no root. And what is their endurance?
What for a little time.
The time. What about later? What is affliction? What does that mean?
Trouble.
Persecution. What does that mean?
Depression.
In other words, when people try to deny what they believe, you don't really believe that junk, do you, about the Bible and Jesus and stuff? What do they do then when the affliction comes? Persecution. For the word's sake. What does that mean? Oh, excuse me, Barbara has a question. Go ahead.
I do. What does it mean to have no root in the soul?
Well, they're rootless, I guess.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
it's not going to be a strong root. It's going to, if you have a plant and it's on stony ground, it pulls up easily. Where when it's in the soil, it's grabbing on, and you have trouble pulling that weed up.
Yes.
I mean, I'm a weed puller, so I know.
Yeah, you know the weeds. Yes. Yes. You did a lot of good weed pulling. Yes, Rick.
And I'm thinking of stones is like clutter in your life.
watering your life, yeah?
See, if the soil is good and mm-hmm. the stones are removed, then you don't have a lot of that extra clutter there.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, the roots can really get into the soil, and the stones are like my sister was sharing there.
Mm-hmm.
There's not room, you know, the stones don't allow for extra soil to be there, mm-hmm. so you don't get the great
right.
control as far as being a holding onto the soil.
Right. Now, Barbara, you have something?
I'm not sure.
Okay. So, now there's no root in them. So, in other words, they're rootless. And so, they're, what is true then, after the, because they are rootless, they receive the right, but then verse number 7, root in themselves, and do they endure?
No.
Just for a little while. And what kind of affliction will drive it away?
Anything that comes along.
Anything, especially for what?
A persecution.
What does it mean? What does the word sake mean? The sake of the Bible, then criticize your Bible, and because of the Bible, what happens then?
They immediately are.
They're offended. They're offended. Not immediately. In other words, when somebody questions, now, you should not question, I should not question God's word, am I right? What if somebody comes against you because you trust in the Scriptures, and they're mad at you because you struck your trust in God's word? What should you do?
Fight with them.
Fight with them, that's right. You shouldn't dwindle down and say, oh, I guess you're right, and just believe the word. Which is more important, the opinion of people or the word of God?
The word of God.
The word of God.
And if you know the word, you're going to tell them about it.
But sometimes you get away from them. Sometimes you clear out. You just leave. Verse 17. Offended because of word's sake. We read 18, didn't we?
Yeah.
What about the ones that are sown among thorns, the thorny ones?
They hear the word.
So at least they got a hearing. Let's read 19 and 20 and 21. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word and become unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. One more, do we? And 21. And he said unto them, is it a candle bought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be thought in a candlestick? All right, verse number 19, the cares of this world, now among the thorns, what is true in verse 19 of these thorn people, thorn soil? What happens? What does care mean?
Concerns.
Concerns and worries and problems. The cares of this world, what else happens? What does deceitfulness of riches mean?
You make it more important than what it is.
See, are riches true and stable? I tell you, the deceitfulness of riches. In other words, some people think riches are all there is, right? Right? And when inflation comes and the dollar goes from 100 pennies down to 10 pennies, which has been doing for years and years and years,
they jump off the buildings.
Some of them jump off the buildings. Deceitful riches. What else happens to these care people? What else happens in verse 19? The lusts of other things. What do you think that would be? Desires for other things. I want this and this and this and this. Pride of life could be. Entering in, what does it do to the word? Choking. What do we mean to have a choked word? A tiny?
Having all these other things, uh-huh. just crowd out all the time and all your energy. So
mm-hmm.
You can't
think
of the most important.
Those are in the cares of the world, as far as the thorns. What is the order of the Bible in that? What is the order? The first, second, third, or fourth? What order do they put the Bible in?
Way down at the bottom.
What is it?
They're putting it way down.
At the way down at the bottom. What's first?
Riches.
Riches. What's second?
Lust
of other things. And that chokes the word, becomes unfruitful.
Cares the word.
Cares the word, pardon me. So there's three things above the word of God. Yeah, Barbara?
It's called tyranny of the urgent.
Tyranny of the urgent.
We don't keep our eye on the goal.
Mm-hmm.
We get so concerned with what's immediately in front of us that we lose sight of where we're supposed to be going.
Lose sight of where we're supposed to go. They choke the word, becomes unfruitful. What does it mean when the Bible becomes unfruitful? What does that mean?
Doesn't affect us.
Should the Bible bear fruit in our lives if we're genuinely saved? It should bear fruit. And if we don't use the Bible, don't read the Bible, don't believe the Bible, don't follow the Bible, will it bear fruit in our lives? No, it'll be fruitless. Just might as well choke off the word, see? So it's important. Unfruitful, it's a terrible thing, unfruitfulness, isn't it? Then, verse 20, goes on good ground. What's true of them?
They hear the word.
Hear it.
They receive it.
Receive it.
And bring forth
fruit. Some what?
30, 60,
some 60 and 100. Now, what should our goal be if receiving the word? Which soil should we receive the Bible in? Good soil. And what type of fruitfulness should there be? 100 if possible, 30, 40, 60. See, so this is very, very important. What's that? Any fruit is better than no fruit, that's for sure. We're going to stop right here, but we'll pick this up where we're going, verse 21, next Sunday. But do you have any other comments or questions before we close? What was that man's name? John, was it? Or Tom? He called us? An email. John, yes. Well, thank you, John, for calling us. And if we have your email, let us know. We'll email us and see what happens. Yeah, Vaughn, go ahead. I know. See,
we gotta rewrite.
Well, just try not to use that one. We know what it means, but it's not a scriptural.
Did you think that Jesus came into my life? Or did he come to our life?
Now, it says in the Gospel of John that when you trust Christ, the Father will come into your life, I will come into your life, but also in other places of Scripture, the Holy Spirit enters the life as soon as we're saved. So really, the Trinity is indwelling every born-again Christian. That's true. But we normally specialize in the Holy Spirit's indwelling. But it's true, the Son is indwelling in the Holy Spirit, according to John chapter 16. What is that? Well, he's replying to those that are genuinely saved. Any other comments or questions, Holy Spirit?
But he had to leave, so the Comforter
would come. Comforter would come, that's right, Holy Spirit. All right, let's close in the word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you we can discuss these matters of the sinner's prayer, of Jesus into our hearts, and various other things that are confusing, easy believism, all of these different things. We ask you, Lord, to give us wisdom in accepting thy words on good soil. Not stony, not wayside, not thorny, but good soil. Help every one of us who are genuinely...